There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 710, August 30th, 2016. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Greetings and racing regards to all. Spa is history, but Parco Monza coming soon in a jiffy. But before we get into our wrap-up, sir, would you like to tell us a little bit about your magnificent time at Laguna Seca and the historics or whatever they are called these days?
I will, sir, after I tell people that Ferrari is the disappointment of the season. F1 rules are absolutely ridiculous. Verstappen perhaps trying too hard, and Fernando is still El Machismo. Nask, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. It's really, really good to have Formula One back. Last few weeks, I'll tell you, I was keeping myself busy with watching old tapes of Formula One, GP2, Formula 3000, all sorts of stuff, some little bit of rallying. Watched a lot of Macau events, a lot of F3 Masters. So there is motor racing on the web. Even if the boys of Formula One and ladies of Formula One are taking a break.
That's wonderful. I went to Pebble Beach, of course, and Laguna Seca for Monterey Week. Lots of stuff happening. The 100th anniversary of BMW. So we had a lot of Beamers, a lot of fun, a lot of excitement, and everybody was in town, including David Hobbs, Jackie Stewart, Sterling Moss, Stefano Domenicali, the test driver for Lamborghini, who's been doing the job for 454 years. He's the Mark Martin of Lamborghini testing. Everybody was in town, and it was a fantastic, glorious event. And, of course, the 1936 Lancia Astura, one best of show, formerly owned by Eric Clapton.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, yes, everybody was there. Unfortunately, Chris Amon passed away a week before the excitement and was scheduled to be there. But it was all in all a great weekend, fantastic, had a lot of fun.
Yes, sir, it is a great event and in a great location, of course.
The best location in the world.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So there you have it. We have Spa behind us now. Of course, Fernando did not win, but yet I still find a little happiness in the world.
That's very true. And, you know, interestingly, every season we have a race or two that is wild and wet. Spa was supposed to be wet, but it was all dry. But a lot of argy-bargy throughout the race, and a big one for K-Mag. Good news is he's okay and planning to race at Monza. What was your take for the weekend on this event?
Well, the surprising hot weather in Europe right now, even my brother's, you know, over at Angoulême, He's been spending most of the day in the swimming pool because it's been very hot all over Europe, and we're used to seeing half wet, half dry Spa racetrack, and this time it was warm, it was hot, it was a heat wave.
Yeah, and one of the Ferraris was on fire. It was so hot.
Exactly, and a lot of people were on fire, and I think Verstappen may have been on fire, and I think he needs to tone it down a little bit.
Yes, and you know, before the F1 circus reached Spa, we all knew Mercedes will be the winning car, and when childlike penalties were levied on LCH and also on Nando, we also knew who will be on pole. This is what I call a classic case of when the cat is away, the mice will play. And the way season is going, looks like we have another Steinbeck saga in the making of mice and men in Abu Dhabi.
Absolutely. And you know what? Even after this Grand Prix, you could still tell that Hamilton is toying with Rosberg. he probably told Rosberg, I could start each Grand Prix last and still win the championship. It's so phenomenal. Like you said, we know Mercedes is going to win the rest of the races, especially with Ferrari. Not sure what's going on Ferrari, but boy, they are falling apart. And when I saw Stefano Domenicali at Pebble Beach, you know, I was curious. Oh, you know, I also ran into Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he told me he wanted to know if I felt lucky.
I hope you didn't call him a punk.
No. But he had a big bulge in his pants, so I said, whoa.
Did you get to talk to people like Stefano Domenicali, or was it the usual, you cannot approach them?
No, he was in the box with the other people, but I did speak with Jay Leno and, of course, his pal Donald Osborne, who does all the appraisals, and he's got a new book out, and, of course, he's a big Italian car fan and lover.
Same here.
I heard. Bravissimo, bravo, prego, prego. So yeah. Anyway, yes, continue, please.
Yeah, I do like the spaghetti culture very much, unlike Niki Lauda.
Yes, but anyway, no, the stunning hot temperature was very impressive. Qualifying was not that impressive, but of course we have to mention what? So he had a 55 grid penalty. Fernando had a 35 place grid penalty. And not only that, but for Mercedes to find the loophole, use three engines in one race weekend, so they have those engines now all lined up for the rest of the season. It's pretty interesting how the F1 rules are pretty bizarre.
Yeah, I think it was last year, or was it 2 years ago, where Ferrari took a penalty on gearbox or something. I think it was in Singapore. Do you remember that race?
Yeah.
Yeah, this kind of gerrymandering, I don't like it.
No, but you also can't help but understand why Mercedes would use these loopholes. I mean, the rules are the rules, and this is what they've been given.
But let's talk about the quality. It was fantastic to see Pascal Wehrlein made it into Q2 only for the second time. He's making a good name for himself, and previous Q2 appearance for him was in Austria. And, of course, your homeboy, debutant Esteban Ocon, was out in Q1, about half a second slower than Wehrlein, but it's a pretty decent performance for Esteban because, I mean, he's doing tin-top DTM these days. But he called his F1 quali session pretty tough, especially dealing with traffic. He was 18th on the grid. But it's good to see new and young blood come into racing on performance, not, you know, let me bring you a check from my country's oil company.
No, and I tend to agree. And, of course, we have to remind people that Wehrlein really got into Q2 because Fernando didn't do one lap. We know he would be out in Q3 or Q1, whatever you want to call it. And, of course, we knew Lewis Hamilton would be out in Q1. So, really, if those two guys were still in all qualifying formats, then I think Wehrlein wouldn't have made it through. But in the end, I was happy for him. I was happy for Manor or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, and you know, Alonso, you mentioned the number of penalties that he had with LCH. Alonso was at least jovial after his quali exit, saying at least he can beat Lewis on penalties.
I like it. Was he sitting in the camper chair?
No, I did not see that. I think he knew the race at the car would last the distance, which in itself quite a big thing for his car right now. I think he's saving his some choice comments for Suzuka not too far. You know what he said there last time?
He said something like IndyCar engine?
No, GP2 engine.
NASCAR engine. Restrictor plates.
There you go.
Thank you. No, but I thought the qualifying was interesting. Once again, Max Verstappen out-qualifying Daniel Ricciardo. I thought that was wonderful. And, of course, Jenson Button out-qualified Fernando.
And Kimi out-qualified Vettel for the fifth time this season.
Very, very true. But see, these days, Ferrari has so many problems. And at the end of the season, we're going to see Arriva Bene going Arrivederci.
Yeah, it's possible. I guess these people now know that what they had last year was not a slap on Luca's face, but now they're realizing what he was dealing with.
Exactly. No, I think they have much bigger internal problems. And, they're not going to turn it around this year because everybody knows that now that we're through the middle of the season and on to the end of the season, the big teams are now focusing on 2017.
Yeah, and talking of Lewis, Martin Brundle, I watched a little bit of qualifying on Sky. He made a couple of interesting comments. He said in Q3, Lewis was feeding the dogs. I think his dog is named Roscoe or something like that. He brings it to the race. And then he said about, Max, starting from front row, becomes the youngest driver to be on the front row of a Formula One race. Previous youngest was Ricardo Rodriguez at Monza in 1961. And Brundle described Max as young and feisty, like a puppy dog, goes for anything.
Wow.
Yeah, they need to throw him some smaller bones so he behaves in racing.
That's true. I mean, he's going to calm down. I mean, it takes time. I mean, let's face it. He's not going to be, Michael Schumacher in 1991.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I hate to say this. I don't want to bring up this kind of stuff. But, do you remember this Italian motorcycle rider, Marco Simoncelli?
Yeah.
When he came into MotoGP, he was, very aggressive, young, this and that. And he had a couple of run-ins with Jorge Lorenzo. And at one of the races, they were on the podium interview. And Jorge Lorenzo said, this time nothing happened, so it's okay. But, sometime next time it could be different. And we all know what happened to poor Marco Simoncelli at a race in Malaysia. So I really think, as much as I'm a fan of Max Verstappen and his enormous talent he has, you really cannot be going up. The thing is, if it was some other driver, any other driver, but Kimi Raikkonen, I would say, oh, it's a driver complaint. Kimi is one guy. Whatever his faults are, he's not a bullshitter.
Right.
And if you look back throughout his career, I don't recall him running into a problem when passing a driver. Either he makes it or he doesn't make it. And if you look at the Spanish race where he was so close to Max, I mean, I can think of several drivers from Senna, Schumacher to even LCH. They would have tried to outbrake or do something where they could have taken one or the other out or both of them. But for Kimi to complain so strongly, and now even other people are jumping into this bandwagon that Max needs to be controlled. But I think FIA should have a word with him. And like Sebastian Vettel said, best, that, the drivers should talk among themselves and sort it out what is acceptable and what is not. So I think there is some maturing to do for Max on this issue.
I agree. Some of the moves, especially when Kimi Raikkonen was behind him on the fastest straight at Spa, was somewhat scary.
Yeah, with his DRS open.
Yes. Very scary. So, yeah, you could lose control very quickly and people could get hurt.
If you recall his big accident with Romain Grosjean in Monte Carlo last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those things that only three people thought he was right. He, his papa, and, of course, Dr. Marco, and everybody else in this world thought it was, his mistake.
Yes, absolutely. But in the end, we had a great qualifying. I was happy to see Verstappen on the front row. And let's not forget the excitement for both Force Indias in fourth and fifth place. Nico Hülkenberg, let's not forget, he's raced over 100 Grand Prix and has yet to make it to the podium, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, he has a pole position and a victory at Le Mans, but not a podium in Formula One. Pretty sad.
It's very sad, especially for the talent that's within him.
And by the way, we haven't mentioned much about Pretty Boy Floyd. This was his pole number 28 and third successive pole.
Yeah, but we really don't care.
I mean, for the numbers, it's good. We want to see a good race and a good battle. And what a race it was, especially not in his favor, thanks to Sebastian Vettel.
I agree. But still, it was a fantastic race. I really enjoyed this start. There were some exciting parts of the race, but then there were some processional parts of the race. And to be honest with you, without Magnussen's big accident, which really helped Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso move up the grid when people were pitting, getting off those super soft tires before them, I thought it was great. I mean, I was happy for Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso. All of a sudden, they found themselves, fifth and sixth?
Yeah, and the thing is, the one thing that Nico did not want was to have, he had a big buffer to keep, I thought a lot of people on the media, they were saying that before the race, Lewis should be able to come up to fourth or fifth. And I thought fourth would be the maximum he would go because, you know, it will be hard to pass the two Ferraris, the two Red Bulls. And, you know, one of them may have some issues, this and that. But who would have thought that in the first corner, almost all the buffer Nico had would be wiped out.
I totally agree. I mean, that first corner, and let's talk about that first corner. I mean, that was unbelievable. I thought that, well, first of all, Verstappen didn't have the start that he needed. Rosberg had a fantastic start. I mean, he took off and left everybody in the dust.
Yes.
It was very impressive.
Yes, it was. Just what the doctor ordered for him.
Absolutely. And I thought Verstappen's slow start and the way he tried to cut over and take that inside line, and the Ferraris were right there. And to be honest with you, I always thought that it was Vettel's fault.
I still think it was Vettel's fault.
Yes, I think it's Vettel's fault. Vettel has been under pressure lately. He's not... The problem is, when he replaced Fernando Alonso, he was supposed to do better, you know, and the pressure was on him and Ferrari to show that, Fernando, you left at a bad time. And in reality, that isn't the case at all. Fernando left because it was junk, the spaghetti culture wasn't winning, and it's still not winning.
Yeah, I mean, it was very, very strange. You know, he hits his teammate, who then, you know, makes contact with Max. So on this one, I think Max is not guilty.
I agree, but both Ferraris were damaged. Max was damaged. And, of course, they had to go pit on the first lap to get things fixed. In the meantime, poor Jenson Button.
Oh, yeah, Pascal Wehrlein. And then he was raising his hand like, you know, it's Button's fault.
I know. It was hilarious. He was trying to show a level of machismo-ness that still cannot exist.
Yeah.
But... Poor Jensen was pretty cool about it. You know, he didn't start freaking out.
Now, when you, I mean, you know, we watch and read and this and that. What do you make of Pascal Wehrlein? Does he come across as a cocky, arrogant guy?
No, not at all.
I have somebody I know in the German media, and this person told me that he is very cocky and arrogant, thinks he's the second coming of Lewis. But, you know, it could be one person's opinion. I mean, I have had one journalist tell me how nice and friendly Kimi is. And I was shocked when this person said to me, the worst person to deal with is Nico Rosberg, which is so hard to believe. We all have our own experiences.
Exactly. And at least Jenson Button didn't call him a cucumber.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Or a sauerkraut.
Exactly. Exactly. So in the end, everybody kept calm. But to be honest, really, that's the beginning of the race for me, because, okay, everybody gets fixed. And of course, lap seven, Kevin Magnussen has that huge accident on top of Eau Rouge, which was unbelievable.
Very, very. It's, you're coming out so fast, and to go out there, very scary.
Very, very scary. It was almost an accident that Jacques Villeneuve would be in.
Yeah, and happy about it. This is actually the spot where Stefan Beloff was killed, unfortunately, in 85. But, I mean, you can see how much damage he did to the safety barrier. They had to red flag the race.
Exactly. I was surprised that they red flagged it. But then when I saw the barrier, you knew that was going to take some time. And sure enough, they red flagged it. And boy, that was the big break for everybody, especially Fernando and Hamilton, because they were ahead of the Ferraris. They only had to deal with a Ricciardo, a couple of Force Indias, and it was happy camping.
Yeah, I really thought that, you know, we're going to have a McLaren 1-2, and who knows, and Will Buxton was talking about it. You know, he's a reporter for NBC Sports, that Lewis can, he was giving his own calculation under what scenario Lewis can win this race.
Exactly. And this is where the race took a little bit of a long, long stint for me, because these laps are fairly long. I mean, we're only talking 44 laps, but it's over a 4-mile lap. But the restart was fantastic once again for Nico Rosberg. And once again, Alonso, so far up front of the race, was just stunning for me to see, even though, you know, obviously, he was passed rather quickly by Lewis Hamilton. still, I had a little moment there, Nasser.
No, yeah, it's this car is, this package is coming along alive, and hopefully they can put together. I heard from, I think it was some news that next year Honda is going to have the same type of the turbocharger, you know, the system they have done where they, and they're going to go with the same style that they have at Mercedes, which apparently does not heat up this turbocharger so much.
Well, that's good. Hopefully they'll be able to compete, because this Mercedes winning every Grand Prix is a bit tiresome.
Yeah.
But in the end, yeah, for me, some of the moves by Verstappen were very, very tricky. And like you said, Kimi Raikkonen doesn't complain too much about other drivers. Okay. That was fascinating. And in the end, you know, for Lewis Hamilton to finish third was just phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was not so surprised. I mean, he has a very good package, you know, which is head and shoulders above the rest. But obviously he was helped. He should send some, you know, French wine or champagne to Mr. Sebastian Vettel.
Absolutely. At least some sauerbraten.
There you go.
Yeah. But, no, what was surprising for me was the weather. I mean, I was hoping for wetness, and I got nothing.
Well, that's what I thought. I was got very excited on Saturday, and I even looked at the, you know, Spa, Fania region weather forecast, and there was like a late afternoon, little chance of rain. So I said, you know, even if it has a little bit of rain, it will help Lewis and Nando and Sebastian Vettel also, of course. But it any rain will ruin two drivers a day. One is our favorite for these things, Felipe Massa, and the other is Nico Rosberg.
Yeah. Now, the blowout on Carlos Sainz's car was pretty spectacular and unfortunate for him.
Yeah, it was in, I did not catch them saying whether he ran over a debris or who knows, even Pirelli might blame it on Magneti Marelli or Male.
Very true, very true. It could have been Danica Patrick's shoe.
Oh, yeah, it flew from Montreal to Spa, huh?
Exactly, exactly. But I thought Ricciardo had a fantastic race. He needed this. What he's got to stop doing is drinking out of his shoe.
Well, that's I guess it's like the Australian rugby thing or Australian football rule thing. Shoey, it's called.
Well, I don't like it.
Yeah. Did you really think Mark Webber took a sip, or was he just faking it?
I think he was faking it. The problem is he was trying not to put his nose in the shoe.
Yeah.
So that was fascinating. And I think Alonso had a great drive as well.
Well, he is quite the man, you know.
Yeah, and doesn't make crazy moves when people are trying to pass him.
No. But people, him, and plus they have a lot of experience too. But people like him, Kimi, you know, they're pretty straight racers for the most part.
I concur. And he finished in seventh, which was fine. Good points for McLaren. They need everything they possibly can get. Williams still languishing, you know, they have a great engine, and when Force India is beating Williams, you know, Williams has got a bigger budget than Force India.
Well, I still don't know, you know, maybe you do. I don't know what the extent of the Martini sponsorship is. Has to be, I mean, anything you put on Formula One car has to be in millions, but I sure would like to know what the extent of that arrangement is.
I agree, and I thought Esteban Gutierrez finishing ahead of his teammate was important as well.
Yes.
All in all, we do have a fantastic race coming up at Monza.
Autodromo Nazionale di Monza.
That's going to be fun. It's great to have Spa and Monza back-to-back.
Yeah, absolutely. But you got to say something about Nico, the race winner. He did his usual smart race that he does, especially when Lewis is not around, and stayed out of trouble at every lap. And this was his first victory at Spa. Win was number 6 of the season and number 20 of his career. And in the media today, it's reported that he was stunned to see Lewis on the podium. I don't think so. He knows what Lewis can do.
I agree. No, he was just happy that he won and Lewis didn't.
Yeah. I think that's more of a thing for him. But, you know, with as the season is winding down, anybody having a DNF or a visit to the DNF chapel or any mistake that takes you out of the points, that is going to be very, very hard to overcome.
I concur. And now Lewis Hamilton once again leads the championship, and it's just too bad for Nico. He is not going to win this championship. Nico Rosberg will go down in history having the best package and no championship.
Despite winning the first four races.
Correct.
You know, what's going to eat him at night is the fact, I mean, you know, if Lewis was second in all those four races, it would be one thing, but he enjoyed a 43-point lead. I mean, that's how it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the other thing I was going to talk about is Red Bull, how well they're doing, and let's not forget the Renault package. This pace is important at Spa and at Monza. These are fast tracks with big straights. And Renault has been struggling with this, but I think they're making those steps forward because I was very impressed with that drive by Ricciardo. And at Monza, if they could kick it up a notch, I see the challenge that I've been wishing for soon.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And they are looking very strong. They have two very good drivers. And I just hope that this momentum stays with them in 2017. I would hate to see them or McLaren Honda go back to, you know, being 3 or 4 seconds slower than Mercedes.
No, that would be terrible.
And by the way, Lewis called his weekend as a super bonus. He described his podium as a super bonus. You know, he lost only I was mentally prepared for Nico Rosberg to take the lead, but, you know, LCH lost only 10 points to him. Like he said, Nico was having a Sunday drive today. You know, it is possible. But what I was really surprised with, especially with all the wheel banging going on, trading paint going on, that Lewis would come out of this race without a dent. I mean, he drove a thinking man's race, which is, we all know, is not his style. He is brute force, and so is the young whippersnapper, Mr. Max Verstappen. Now, you know, talking about the Renault situation, you should know, you should have an inline here. Strong rumors that both Kevin Magnussen and Julian Palmer are out.
I've heard the same thing.
Yeah, and I think they should keep. Apparently, they're trying to get a name driver. You know, who knows who that would be. And they're trying to get this Kevin Esteban Ocon, you know, fellow French driver in the team, who is a good talent. And but you know, if Kevin Magnussen is kicked out from here and kicked out of McLaren after one season, I think that will be the end of his Formula One career.
It could very well be. It's very tough. He doesn't have, you know, and what they're looking for is somebody with charisma and magnetism.
Well, then there is only one choice, host of a podcast in California.
Exactly. And I told them I'm too old. I don't have a super license anymore.
Oh, that's a tragedy.
It is, but I'm sure they've talked to Flavio Briatore.
Oh, yeah.
And he's making some suggestions, you know, bravo, 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 bravo. We could always bring back physical.
Yeah, Flavio sure can move walls, if not mountains.
Indeed. So, I understand what Renault's trying to do. They want to bring back the Mile 7 days, the excitement.
Dude, let me tell you what I heard yesterday. You know, this fantastic magazine that comes out from England, Motorsport, which I've been reading off and on for like since the early 70s. I went to bed and I turned on this podcast, Motorsports Magazine podcast, with Simon Taylor, okay, who does all these fabulous lunch with so-and-so. And he was the reporter for BBC in 1973 when I started following and I would listen to BBC. And they were asking him about all the great people he has interviewed, from Dan Gurney and AJ Foyt in the U.S. to Chris Amon and, you know, Jackie Stewart, Frank Durney, and all these racing people. And Pat Simmons' name came up. And he said, when he interviewed, you know, he normally goes there and invites them to some fancy lunch, and they sit there for 2-3 hours. And he said, in that conversation, Pat Simmons, the issue of PK Jr. came up in Singapore, and he said he was nowhere on earth he was going to lie to the FIA tribunal. There was too much evidence, you know. So he said, I did, and we did what I driver, you know, and they gave him a 5-year penalty out of racing. And he said, would you believe if I tell you whether who came up with this idea? And according to Pat Simmons, this was Nelson Piquet Jr.'s own idea.
I believe that.
Yeah, and yeah, it's, you know, it's one man's story right now. But he said because he was, you know, under a lot of heat from Flavio over his seat anyway. And he said he had come to him about creating this scenario, and they, you know, talked. And he did not say that Flavio listened. He did not even mention his name. But he said, you know, they talked and this was decided. So it's, I'm sure there is more to that story, you know.
I believe you. I believe you. Do you want to go through these 10 top drivers that finished at Spa?
Yeah, I sure would like to. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Sergio Perez, shall we?
Please.
Mega get-out-of-my-way move over Felipe Massa on his way to top 5 finish at Spa. Checo has come a long way. Not too long ago, he played second banana to Pastor Maldonado in GP2, then was in the Ferrari Driver Academy and lasted only a season as JB's teammate at McLaren. Despite team owner Dr. Vijay Mallya claiming, saying Checo will be at Force India next year, Perez is saying he will go where his sponsors take him. Looks like man from Guadalajara is going places with or without Force India. And his name is one of the top names that is coming up of landing at Renault, which would not surprise me because he brings substantial backing from, you know, Carlos Slim and Telmex companies. Would you like to see him at your favorite team?
Yeah, he speaks Spanish. He's good. He's a good driver, but he doesn't have the magnetism.
Yeah, if he wins a few races, he will. It's amazing what victory will do for you. Okay, 6 was Sebastian Vettel. With the glory days and blown diffusers of Red Bull now a distant memory, Seb has become a grumpy young man of Formula One. With new management at Ferrari and 3 wins last year, much was expected from Seb this year. Now they are chasing Red Bull to be best of the rest. They will be lucky to get a win this year the way things are going for Scuderia Ferrari. What we need at Ferrari is a young whippersnapper who will rattle Vettel's cage. Perhaps Max in 2018 might do the trick. Question, sir, do you think Ferrari will have a win this year?
No. Red Bull has made too much. Red Bull was struggling badly last year. Almost decided not to go with Renault. Luckily, they figured it out and knew that, well, we had 4 championships with Renault. Maybe we should continue with Renault. And it's paying off. Renault has made huge dividends. Renault has been around for a couple of months, you know, around F1. They know what they're doing. And it's obvious with Ricciardo and the pace that they're showing at Spa. I think they're going to emulate that at Monza. And I think Red Bull is the new challenger. Ferrari has failed.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know why, but something tells me that if they win a race, it might be Raikkonen before Sebastian.
It could be. Sebastian is showing frustration and making mistakes.
Yes. He gets flustered, like all great drivers, you know. He's not very good when he does not have the best equipment. Let's talk about your Dios Mios Alonso. With all due respect to him, I have to say what a wasted super talent he has been since leaving the loving embrace of his manager, super slick Flavio Briatore. From his GP2 engine comment to beach chair at Interlagos, Alonso will probably have his last chance for another world title next year. Last thing he needs is another research and development season with McLaren and Honda in 2017. Looking more and more likely that he will have another GP2 champion and an F1 rookie as teammate next year, i.e. Stoffel Vandoorne. Haven't we seen this horror movie before? A Ron Dennis production coming soon to a racing theater near you. Nightmare on Oviedo Street. Sir, you know Stoffel Vandoorne. We all know how good he is. If he gets into the team as a Nando teammate, do you think we will have cage rattling?
No.
Why do you say that?
Because Fernando es el machismo.
Yeah, I think if the package is not very, it's like this or a little bit better, then for Alonso's experience and his smart and intelligence, how to bring a car to the top 5, which does not belong there, I think that will win him over Stoffel. But if they have a very strong package and Stoffel doesn't have to do a lot of head scratching, he could be a pain for him.
We'll see what happens, but I predict not.
Okay, we will see. Bottas in eighth. The blending of a young, talented driver. This is, we talked about this earlier, and it's really sad. The blending of a young, talented driver with an experienced hand, plus Rob Smedley, Pat Simmons, and Mercedes engine, despite all this and decent sponsorship from Martini, results are not coming that were hoped for. After Spa, they have fallen behind Force India in the Constructors' Championship. So far, Bottas has scored points in 11 of the 13 races, but only three were in the top five. Barcelona and Montreal, where he was on the podium, which was good. Ninth is our Raikkonen, the Iceman. One thing for sure, he will not be receiving a Christmas card from Max or Jos Verstappen this time, this year in December. Kimi dropped an F-bomb while battling with Max, and only 2 points is not a good result after starting from the second row. Kimi's problem started from the very first corner, courtesy of his own teammate, which we already discussed, and now the show moves to Monza and Signor Arriva Bene, and his two drivers will be under some serious scrutiny by the Italian press, the Tifosis, and most important, by the man writing the check, Sergio Marchionne. Do you see any major changes coming there on the technical side there?
No. I think Ferrari will still be fighting. I mean, they just, Red Bull has just passed them now in the Constructors' Championship. Force India has passed Williams. Ferrari's got some big problems, and when they go home and the Pope is watching, they have to answer to a higher authority.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's not going to be very pretty. Okay, sir, this is what I'm thinking. Mr. Rogers, tell me what you think about Felipe Massa. There are reports that he's out of Formula One at the end of this season. You know, he was 10th in Monaco, 10th in Baku, and is still looking for his first podium finish of the season. Claire Williams, daughter of Frank, of course, is not saying who will be driving for the team next year, but I would not be surprised if Massa lands at Renault. And not sure if he meets that criteria for star driver, but has the right connection between his manager, Nicola Todd, and Frederick Vasseur, who is now the boss man at Renault. And both him and Nicola Todd are partners in ART GP2 team. So we'll see how it works out. Do you see Massa getting there?
I hope not. That would be a travesty.
You really?
Yes, I didn't want Massa at Ferrari for years. I wanted him cut then. I wanted him cut now. I certainly don't want to see him at Renault. I'd rather see Rubinho at Renault.
Oh, please. Shall we take a quick look at the championship table right now?
By all means.
Okay, sir. Leader Hamilton, 232 points. Second, Rosberg, 223. Third, Ricciardo, whatever the name is, 151. Fourth, Vettel, 128. Fifth, Raikkonen, 124. And sixth, 115 points for Mr. Max Verstappen. Shall we move into Motorsports Mondial, or shall we take a break?
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Are you in business and want to make a hard-hitting visual impact that gets your name and message promoted? F1 Weekly knows from experience that the creative team of Caton Designs are graphic design geniuses and a company that can give your brand a visual pop in a cost-effective way. Contact Caton Designs at ketondesigns.com for visual messaging solutions that get your business image seen.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And we shall start with Motorsports Mondial with our favorite GP2, also known as Hape Dos, back in action in Belgium. Third win of the season for Red Bull driver Pierre Gasly. The French driver is now leading the championship, and I think he will be replacing Kvyat at Toro Rosso next year. Sunday's sprint race saw third win of the season for Italian Antonio Giovinazzi. GP3, we continue with the theme of three wins in the season so far. This time the honor goes to Charles Leclerc of Monaco. He is also in the Ferrari Driver Academy. Second race of the weekend was won by Jack Aitken, English chap. This was his first win in GP3, and he is in the Renault Driver Development Program.
And I have good news.
Go ahead, sir.
Charles Leclerc
mm-hmm.
liked my tweet about him and his win in GP3.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I got the message today that Charles Leclerc liked F1 Weekly's tweet.
Oh, that's good. Very good.
Yes, this is good for him because you know what happens when people at GP3 and then GP2 or in the old days, Formula BMW, you listen to F1 Weekly now, you will become champions in the future.
There you go. And we talked to him, interviewed him in Vegas a couple of years ago when he was in karting. This kid has a very bright future. Just keep an eye on this guy. Okay, IndyCar racing. Saturday night, there was an IndyCar race at the Texas Motor Speedway, which is in Dallas-Fort Worth area. The last few laps are highly recommended by the Bradford Exchange. And what a great finish and victory by Graham Rahal. Whoever goes and watches this last few laps will not be disappointed. MotoGP, 2 weekends ago, there was history in the making as Cal Crutchlow won the Czech MotoGP at Brno, riding for the privateer LCR Honda team. First win in the series for both the rider and the team. Third maiden win for a rider in last 4 MotoGP races. Very impressive for new faces to be winning there. Okay. And you know what? This was a big surprise, but I was aware of this. That's been a while. This is the first win in the top tier of motorbike racing for a British rider. Last time they won was Barry Sheen, a very famous and successful rider, when he won at Anderstorp, Sweden in 1981. So 35 years later, another British win in MotoGP. Marc Marquez leads the championship for Honda over Yamaha's Valentino Rossi. There are 6 Spanish riders in the top 10. So Clark, there is future for Alonso with Honda power. Just may not be on 4 wheels.
Thank you.
Would you still love him if he's riding Honda bikes?
He's not going to ride a Honda bike. But don't forget, you meet the nicest people on a Honda.
Absolutely. And that's how you met Desiree, right?
No, I met her when I had visitation rights up at Penn State.
Okay. You went for a picnic there, right?
Correct.
That's beautiful. Okay, sir, may I have your express written consent to proceed with our goodie bag, History of Spa?
Life without a goodie bag is no life at all.
Thank you, sir. Okay, this goes back all the way to 1925, and that is the history of Belgian Grand Prix, when Antonio Ascari won the race driving an Alfa Romeo. Another great Italian legend, Tazio Nuvolari, won the Belgian Grand Prix in 1933, driving a Maserati. Look at these names. Mercedes won the race in 1935 with Rudolf Caracciola, in 1937 with Rudolf Hasse, and in 1939, check this out, Mr. Rogers, in 1939, their winning driver was Hermann Lahn, and yours truly met this gentleman at Laguna Seca when Mercedes was the feature mark at Monterey Historics. I think it was 1985 or 86, and that, to me, is still one of the greatest days of my life, to shake hands with the gentleman who was racing these cars back in those days at, you know, places like Tripoli, Monza, Nürburgring. Belgian Grand Prix was on the schedule for 1950 as a World Championship Grand Prix. Juan Manuel Fangio was the winner for Alfa Romeo. Antonio Ascari's son Alberto was the winner in 1952, driving a Ferrari. Jim Clark won 4 years in a row from 1962 to 1965, all with Lotus. And 1962 was his first ever Grand Prix win. And of course, Lotus was the only team he ever drove for in his entire Formula One career. Very important for you and everybody living in the U.S., especially in Cali. 1967, a car made in Southern California by Dan Gurney and his All-American racers won the race, and the following year, Bruce McLaren did the same in his orange machine. Ayrton Senna won the 1985 Belgian Grand Prix in a Lotus, then went 4 in a row in the halcyon days of McLaren Honda. Michael Schumacher made his Grand Prix debut at Spa in 1991, and the following year took first of his 6 Belgian Grand Prix victories. One that got away was in 2000, when Mika Hakkinen made one of the greatest passes in racing, coming out of Eau Rouge and heading towards Pouhon, and in between him and Michael Schumacher was Ricardo Zonta. Kimi Raikkonen has been successful at Spa, winning the race on 4 different occasions. Hamilton and Vettel have 2 victories each at Spa. Hard to believe Fernando Alonso has never won at Spa. The darkest day in Grand Prix racing at Spa was in 1960, when 2 British drivers were killed within 5 laps of each other. One, Chris Bristow, He lost control and crashed at Malmedy. The other was Alan Stacey. He was hit in the face by a bird and crashed near Mazda. Jackie Stewart's safety crusade started after a crash at Spa. Shortly after the start in 1966, several drivers went off track in the rain. Stewart landed upside down in his car with fuel leaking. He was helped out by Graham Hill and Bob Bondurant, who now runs a successful racing school in Arizona. Spa has significant importance for German race fans. It's very close to Cologne and the German border in very different circumstances. It was here in sports car race in 1985 that young and very talented Stefan Beloff lost his life after a collision with Jackie Ickx coming out of Eau Rouge. He was trying to pass Jackie on the outside. In 1991, another young talented Deutschen driver in sports car racing made his Formula One debut in the beautiful green Jordan. The rest is unbelievable history. On a separate note, Eddie Jordan, being the wily operator he is, did not book a hotel room for his new driver, so the driver and his manager, the world-famous Willy Weber, had to sleep in a youth hostel over the race weekend. And that was a goodie bag for this week. But that is some humor, you know. Formula One is a very serious business, but nice to know there is humor on and off the track. Now that we have two Mercedes-supported drivers at Manor, the team has been named Toto Rosso by a German magazine.
I like that.
Toto Rosso.
Toto Rosso. That could be a new cocktail.
Yeah, it's a pretty cute comment, I have to say.
Yes, well, I'm glad that the Germans are not only winning Grand Prix, but giggling at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So that's wonderful. And you know, that crash of Jackie Stewart's at Spa, after that crash, that's when he decided to tape a spanner on his steering wheel, because that was the problem. They couldn't get the steering wheel off.
Right.
And so ever since after that, he would tape a spanner across the steering wheel. That way, if he needed to take it off, he could do it.
That's very true. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you, and you're very welcome. Of course, now we have our favorite part of the segment, because we have time and people are happy, and we're going to Monza. It's 50 words on the Belgian Grand Prix from the F1 Weekly Familia. Philip Pegler writes, "The intermission is over, and the second half of the season is underway. An exciting overture with Kevin Magnussen's colossal accident coming out of Eau Rouge, the major turning point of the Grand Prix. Nico checks another box for his post-race demeanor, suggests that it was no great achievement, owing to the fact that Lewis started 21st. There may have been no rain in Spa, but secretly, it will be raining inside Nico's overalls as he realizes that you just can't keep a good man down. On to the house of Ascari. Ye says, this booing is getting ridiculous, and what is worse is, it would seem to be British Hamilton fans. It isn't motorsport at all. He did nothing wrong, but his teammate got away with 3 new engines in one race. That's out of the proper allocation of 5 for the whole season. The way they worked the system to be handed this disproportionately teeny penalty is completely against the spirit of the regulation. It's cheating. Kehe Sin writes, LCH gets on the podium after starting from the back, and Rosberg gets to win instead. But that's not the big news. The big news involves champagne, Weibo, and a shoe. An Australian thing. Neon Zapper says, Hamilton and Alonso displayed their talents as outstanding drivers. Max stays aggressive, and that Red Bull mojo is strong. A great race on a great track. And Jackson says, Eau Rouge? Oh, no. There you go. Everybody's a funny man at the F1 Weekly Forum, Nasser.
Yes, sir. We enjoy motor racing.
We do enjoy motor racing. That was a great, great event. Of course, now we go to Monza, and we should have this podcast published by Wednesday, so people will be happy listening on ROCK Radio on the East Coast of the United States. Any predictions, Nasser, for Monza?
I think Lewis Hamilton will increase his lead after Monza, and his teammate will be second, and we will have a Red Bull on the podium.
I think you're right. I think Red Bull could look very, very good. But on the other hand, there's a lot of pressure on the Scuderia Ferrari. They have to do something.
I will not be surprised if Arriva Bene gets the, you know, sent to the guillotine in Rome or someplace.
It's possible. Like I said, Arriva Bene's got some big problems. He came from Marlboro. Not a big motorsports background, but more of a management and motivating background. And I don't think it's working. It's time for maybe a Brit and a French guy to come in.
And a German driver they already have.
A German driver. The drivers are fine, really. I mean, I'm done knocking Kimi Raikkonen. He does what he does, and he goes home. We're going to leave him alone.
Yeah, you know, and plus he gets some points.
For honesty?
No, I mean, it's not easy to beat Sebastian Vettel. Just ask his ex-teammate. But, you know, he brings in enough number of points, and he's totally non-political. He's very low maintenance.
You know, that's where you're right. I think he is low maintenance. Now, let's see. Honda have spent a few tokens, I think 7, so they're making progress. Fernando looked good out there. If it wasn't for Wehrlein, it could have been a double points finish for McLaren at Spa. I'm expecting more excitement from McLaren Honda, and I predict that Fernando will be on the podium.
Well, that would be something.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's still well-liked by people in Italy, by, you know, racing fans.
Of course, they remember. Monza, 2010.
You know, man, I'll tell you about tifosis, okay? A friend of mine went to the Cavallino Ristorante, which is right opposite the Ferrari factory, okay? And this was in the heydays of Michael Schumacher driving for Ferrari. And he called me from Italy to say there are more pictures of Ayrton Senna in that restaurant than of Michael Schumacher, which was unbelievable.
I believe that.
Yeah.
And I think Senna would have wound up at Ferrari in the end.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. No, that's the way the life goes sometimes.
Yes. Anyway, you should be happy, Nasser.
I am very happy, sir. And what's your prediction? Monza is my all-time favorite track, always will be. What is your prediction for Monza?
Oh, Lewis Hamilton wins, Nico Rosberg second, Fernando Alonso third.
Okay, so that's the way he's going to come into the podium.
That's correct.
Yeah. Man, what a race that is. It's over in 1 hour, 17 minutes. You know, you don't need to save tires or fuel or, you know, MGK, FCK, DMP. You know, all this nonsense has to go.
Yeah.
But it's not going, unfortunately.
I understand. I'd like to see everybody go back to carburetors.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, yes. Or at least, you know, the normal shifters, you know, that we used to have.
Yeah. I think they should bring back 1968 rules.
And the designs?
Everything.
Wow. Yeah.
Let's go back to, you know, when something doesn't work, you know, where I'm employed or here in the F1 Weekly Studios, I always say, okay, let's scratch everything. Let's go back to the beginning.
Well, everything works at F1 Weekly Palatial Studios.
I understand, but we're not happy with F1.
Yeah, and have you noticed that we have a serious shortage of digital slings and arrows now?
Yeah, nobody talks to me anymore.
Yeah.
I have to go out and look for them.
So what was a real high point for you from this Monterey Historic? I understand the name is now Rolex Reunion at Monterey, at Mazda Raceway.
Correct. It was great. I mean, I'm a big BMW fan. They produce some fantastic cars. Half Schumacher's Williams was there. That was exciting.
Wow. Did somebody drive around the track?
No. It was display.
That car makes a beautiful motor racing sound.
He does. So.
You know, they have some very good similar historic programs at Road America, Watkins Glen, and of course, you know, here in Florida. So now that I'm pretty well, you know, situated here, I think I'm going to be going to some events next year, quite a few.
What's good about the historic programs at all these tracks, including Pau and Reims, is everybody's much more accessible.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, I got to say, you know, when Toyota was sponsoring this event some years ago, remember when Timo Glock won they had a celebrity race with the Toyota models. Patrick Tambay was there. John Watson, Alan Jones, Jean-Pierre Gerrier, and these people, you know, this outside event management company, these guys were keeping an eye on me like you won't believe, even though we had a media pass, you know. Oh, you cannot talk to them. Oh, they are doing this, they are doing that. And
Don't worry, I'll take care of all that, Nasser.
You will?
Yes.
Okay, so hopefully next year I can be there too.
Fantastic, Nasser. Anyway, we need to wrap it up. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.